Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
This bill, for the first time in 30 years, allows for the taxpayer funding of abortions.
When Christians say, I'm not going to get involved in those things, what we've done, we have now not only abdicated responsibility, but we have absolutely given confirmation to the utter destruction of everything we're afraid to touch.
Today we are celebrating the birth of our Prophet Muhammad, who was born on this day. It's a great day of the Muslim world. The Prophet gave us this religion, which is a religion of peace.
It's true that he was a violent man. In fact, he was, if you will say, the first Muslim terrorist.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love issues, etc.
Today we have the medical technology, don't we, to do so many things, and what was considered impossible only a few decades ago is now quite possible. Take, for instance, infertility. Until very recently, if you could not have children, you could not have children. You could adopt, but otherwise you would be childless. And that was the way it was for centuries, until the technology to overcome infertility was developed, and now if you can't have kids, you can have kids. And the technology, of course, has brought with us all sorts of other moral dilemmas along with it. We're going to be talking about infertility and the comfort that God has for both the childless or the infertile couple. Dr. James Lamb joins us here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday, March the 16th. Now, you can join us as well. And on the subject of infertility, if you'd like to join us anonymously, feel free to do so. We will honor that request. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us, talkback at issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at issuesetc. We'll talk infertility with Dr. James Lamb here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. Then Les Lanfear will join us. We'll talk about the trap of seeker sensitivity. He says churches sometimes get trapped in trying to meet people's felt needs, and then even if they want to return to the preaching of the pure gospel, they can't, victims of their own success. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will join us in the second hour. We'll talk about the reluctance of some homosexuals to get married, even when it's perfectly legal to do so. In fact, kind of puts a little pressure on a homosexual couple if they aren't married. Now that it's legal to get married, and suddenly they're asking each other, why aren't we getting married? Maybe they don't want to. Dr. Gene Edward Veith will be our guest in the last part of today's program. We're going to begin a six-part series with him on Reformation theology today, the very basics, the heart and the center, sin and grace, with Dr. Gene Edward Veith, author of the Issues Etc., Book of the Month for March, The Spirituality of the Cross. Our in-studio email address, talkback at issuesetc.org. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, or you can Twitter us at IssuesETC. Dr. James Lamb is Executive Director of Lutherans for Life, based in Nevada, Iowa, and he's author of an article in the latest Life Date newsletter titled Hope for the Infertile Couple. Dr. Lamb, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. It's always good to be with you.
Until relatively recently, infertility meant childlessness, or you could adopt, but those were your two options. Is infertility, does history teach us, if you will, that infertility is, in essence, God's will for some?
Well, biblical history certainly tells us that God has used infertility in the past in order to accomplish his will. Certainly, he used it with Abram and Sarai, for example, to show that their son Isaac was a child of promise. Paul talks about that in Galatians. He used the infertility of Zechariah and Elizabeth to raise up the importance of John the Baptist. So certainly we can say that, you know, God's will is for couples to be fruitful and multiply. No question about that. Sin has messed up the procreative process that God has created. And sometimes couples find that they are unable to have children. And God may then have another plan for them, to adopt a child perhaps, or to be a witness in their infertility. All kinds of other options out there. What we need to guard against, what couples need to guard against, is technologies that would either compromise the one flesh union of marriage or technologies that would involve the destruction of life in order to achieve a child for them.
You're talking there about what you call assisted reproductive technology. What are and should be the moral concerns there with this technology, or we should say perhaps this technology misused?
Yeah, the moral concerns are the two I just mentioned, the two basic moral concerns. We have technology now that can circumvent the one flesh union of husband and wife, technologies that would use donor sperm, for example, if a husband's sperm is not viable, or donor eggs, or both, or a combination. And that's a concern because it then violates the one flesh union that God has for procreation. So any technologies that would circumvent that, well, we would want to avoid as Christians. Some technologies, like in vitro fertilization, the normal process that uses, does involve the destruction of life. Many, many embryos are formed from sperm and egg in vitro, in glass, in other words, outside of the woman's body. And those embryos are, in the normal process, graded. They're looked at under a microscope. And if they don't look good, oftentimes they are tossed out, thrown away. Embryos that are not used are frozen. That can be destructive to that tiny human life. So technologies are God-given. No question about that. And God has given many technologies that infertile couples can use. But the guidelines are we going to violate the relational aspect of marriage, husband-wife, or are we going to in any way violate the sanctity of life in those technologies?
So this is at best an uncertain hope for infertile couples, the technological answer. Not to lay it entirely aside, but is there a hope for the infertile couple that doesn't fail?
Yes, and that's what I was writing about, because the assisted reproductive technologies, they offer these hopes, but they also bring with them lots of frustration and lots of disappointments. Our own son and daughter-in-law dealt with this for 3 years, and they dealt with some assistive reproductive technologies, and became very frustrating for them, that whole route. And I know of other couples, too, who have really struggled. And so I wanted to place something before infertile couples that is a true and certain hope, and that's the hope that we find in the promises of God.
So how does it actually play out? I mean, there's a couple that, try as they may, cannot have children on their own. Let's deal with the couple who perhaps says, we don't either want to, maybe we don't even have the means to go the technological route, even with all of the moral caveats in place. What's the hope for them?
Well, the hope is that they have a God who loves them, and that love is assured to them, not based on their ability to conceive or not to conceive, but God has assured his love for us all, demonstrated his love for us all through the cross of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so that the first thing we can do is assure the infertile couple that they are loved by God. We can assure them, the Christian infertile couple, that their infertility is not punishment by God for some sin, the specific sin they have committed, because Christ has taken the curse of God's wrath over sin on the cross. And so we can assure them of that. We can assure them that God we always often point to that verse that everyone knows, Romans 8:28, that God is at work in such things as this, and God is able to work in suffering, again, demonstrated and proven through the cross, to accomplish His good and to accomplish His purpose. And so couples can trust that God is at work in their suffering, in their infertility, and He can accomplish what He desires to accomplish there. That might be granting them a parenthood through adoption. Or I use as an example a couple when I was in the parish ministry in North Central Iowa, a childless couple, but they had literally hundreds and hundreds of children because between the two of them, they had clocked up over 85 years of teaching Sunday school. And they were just mentors to so many, many children, called the children by name on Sunday morning, and just served those children over and over again. So couples can be assured that God is at work. God does have a plan, and God will use them.
We're talking with Dr. James Lamb, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life, based in Nevada, Iowa, about infertility. I invite your questions and your comments on this Tuesday afternoon, March the 16th. We are coming to you live. This is Issues Etc. You can call us anonymously if you'd like, or email us anonymously. Talkback at issuesetc.org, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or Twitter us at IssuesETC. When we come back, 10 more minutes with Dr. Lamb talking about infertility. Then Les Lanfear will join us. We'll talk about the trap that many churches fall into when they engage in seeker sensitivity, that is, trying to meet the felt needs of unbelievers. Can you end up with a church full of nominal Christians, or perhaps even a church full of mostly still unbelievers? Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The CLCC has produced a new seminar to help people understand the structure of LCMS churches. So many people today are unaware of their church polity. This seminar can be downloaded for free from the CLCC website, www.theclcc.org. This is available for a seminar, a self-study, or presentations. And think about joining us. Members can download the PowerPoint version for free. Visit us today at www.theclcc.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon, March the 16th. We're talking with Dr. James Lamb about infertility. I think what is probably most difficult is the prospect that a couple may face, Dr. Lamb, of being childless the rest of their lives. I mean, everyone who marries, usually at least in the back of their mind, if not in the forefront of their mind, are thinking about family too. They're thinking about children of their own. They're thinking about growing old, not only together, but with those children as adults and then grandchildren. And that is an awful lot to looking, even with the comfort of a spouse and a church and things like that, that's an awful lot to feel like you're missing out on for the rest of your life. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, certainly there's absolutely no way that I, for example, who have children, my wife and I have children, we have grandchildren, there's just no way that I can put myself in the place of someone, a couple, who is dealing with the real pain of infertility. It's built into us. It is, as you said, what God desires of a couple in normal circumstances. And it's just another one of those effects of sin in this world that has disrupted God's perfect plan. And couples who are facing that situation, our heart here at Lutherans for Life goes out to them, and we're in no way trying to be insensitive to what their struggle is and the pain of it. And that's why, you know, there are a couple other articles in our Life Date on infertility written by folks who've been there and people who know a lot more about the technology than I do. But I wanted to offer something that would speak to that pain, something from God's Word, the hope that only He can bring in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Let's talk about adoption, because it is and remains the option for childless couples that does not carry any of those moral qualms or dilemmas that the technological solutions so often do. And speak a word of encouragement, if you would, to a childless couple toward the end of adoption.
Well, it is certainly a wonderful and God-pleasing option that, as you say, does not come with all of the moral problems and baggage that some of the technologies come with. And it offers a couple an opportunity to bring their love and their desire for children to a child that otherwise would not have that, to bring a child to the waters of holy baptism that perhaps might not have that opportunity as well. And one of the problems is the availability of children in our country. Abortion certainly has affected the number of children available for adoption, and adoption is expensive. And I think this is a call to the Christian community, those who are members of the body of Christ surrounding the infertile couple, to offer their support, and not just, you know, pat on the back and saying, you know, things will be all right, God will fix things for you, or He has something else in mind for you, but to offer real help in terms of encouraging adoption, if that's something the couple wants to, and then helping with that, helping financially with that. You know, we raise funds for all kinds of things in the church. We raise funds for couples that have lost their home, for example, and this is certainly as devastating for the infertile couple. So raise some funds, support adoption efforts of couples in your congregation, whether they are seeking to adopt through an agency here in this country, whether they're seeking to adopt from foreign adoptions, or even in the foster care system in this country. There are many, many children, older children certainly, but children who need loving Christian parents, and there are certainly opportunities there as well.
Let's speak about this, if we could, in terms of vocation. It is a vocation that a childless couple may discover after they've married that they're never going to be able to fill. Parents, father, mother. Let's say adoption isn't for some reason an option. Talk about the vocations that remain for them as husband and wife in the church and elsewhere, wherein they can find all the things in their life, even without children, that God has for them?
Well, they certainly have a vocation, I believe, of being a Christian witness to others who are in this same place, and opportunities there for them to have their own faith strengthened, first of all, as they trust in God and lean upon Him. And then, as they're dealing with this, opportunities to bring that stronger faith to others and to support other couples who are struggling. Because, as I said earlier, I cannot empathize totally with the infertile couple, but someone who is there, they can do that. And the Christian couple has that opportunity then to apply their faith and to strengthen the faith of others, or maybe even to be reaching out and bringing others into the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ. Evangelism, witness opportunities that their situation can bring to them, because certainly there will be no lack of infertile couples with latest statistics I read said 1 in 10 couples are infertile in this country. So opportunities to reach out to people who are hurting with the gospel of Jesus Christ and apply that to this particular situation.
A listener in Florida emails us, writes this: "We faced infertility and looked into IVF. When we found out that embryos would be destroyed, we decided to look into adoption. The church has really sided with the culture on this. We received counsel from an LCMS pastor and a Christian doctor encouraging us to pursue IVF. The view seemed to be that if we can do it, we must do it. The good news is that we adopted a baby boy, and the Lord ended up bringing his little sister into our lives as well." Your thoughts there?
Well, you know, first of all, IVF, as I said, is problematic. It has phases of it and parts of it that endanger life. There are some clinics who will try to avoid all those moral pitfalls. For example, they'll only use sperm from the husband, eggs from the wife. They won't grade the embryos. They'll implant all the embryos. You know, they'll just do one or two or three and implant those. So there are clinics that will try to avoid that and work with Christian couples who want to do this in a God-pleasing way. So I don't think we can rule out in vitro completely as being amoral. Certainly, there are clinics who will do that and strive to do that in a God-pleasing way. So that is certainly there. But on the other hand, to discount because of that, to just say that's the only way, to, you know, Rachel's cry in Genesis, "Give me children or I'll die." For her, it was, an or else kind of situation. It was, I want children, you know, regardless by any means. And that's what we need to avoid as Christian couples. And that IVF may be an option if done properly, but we certainly don't want to hold that out as the only option. And as this couple did, to seek parenthood through adoption, again, a wonderful, God-pleasing option where all of those moral dilemmas are just not there.
Dr. James Lamb is Executive Director of Lutherans for Life, based in Nevada, Iowa. He's author of an article in the latest LifeDate newsletter titled "Hope for the Infertile Couple." You'll find a link to Lutherans for Life under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org, or you can request the free LifeDate newsletter by calling toll-free 1-888-364-LIFE, 888-364-LIFE. Dr. Lamb, thanks for being our guest.
You are welcome.
And thanks to Trinity Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Missouri, and Pastor David Oberdieck for being part of the Issues Etc. 300. This is a group of congregations that have pledged to support Issues Etc. in their mission or advertising budget, actually any place in their budget, to the tune of $1,000 or more. Now, it's a good chance that your congregation is right now putting together its own budget plans for the coming year. Some churches run on a fiscal year that begins in June or the end of June. And that means right now your church is making up the budget, putting the plans together. This is the perfect time to go to your congregation and ask them to join the Issues Etc. 300 for the fiscal year 2010 and 2011. You can do so by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. You'll find there a one-page flyer all ready to download and print off that you can take to your congregation, and it explains everything you and your congregation need to know about joining the Issues Etc. 300. This is the time to do it, especially if your church is planning its budget for the middle of the summer. Issuesetc.org, click support and download that flyer. Ask your congregation to join the Issues Etc. 300. When we come back, Les Lanfear joins us. He's author of the blog Killer Robot Ninja. We're going to be talking about the trap that many congregations fall into when they pursue seeker sensitivity, that is, meeting the felt needs of the audience, in particular, the unbelieving audience. Stay tuned. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000, and the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig, his email address, craig@issuesetc.org, or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
40 Days for Life is having a big impact. People in communities throughout America are participating in prayers and fasting in front of abortion mills. Christian love and assistance is being offered to women going in for abortions, as well as the staff of the abortion facility. A spiritual presence is impacting these people. A woman in Reno, Nevada had scheduled an abortion, but because of the pro-lifers in front of the mill, she left. A short while later, she returned, not for the abortion, but for a refund from the facility. When abortion mill staff saw her hugging the pro-lifers, they wouldn't let her inside. She had to wait in her car while they processed her refund. Please keep 40 Days for Life in your prayers, as well as those they encounter.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.